Well, that song pretty much sums up the sermon. That was great praise to God and His salvation. Make sure you talk to any of those singers. Please do a concert, okay? You do a concert and we'll come. Yeah, just in terms of the blessing that you brought. Thank you so much. We appreciate that very much. Also, the sermon title today is a little bit of a... It's after you write this, you know, have the sermon, you're thinking, that has nothing to do with the title. I thought, oh, brother. But it's too late to change the title. But next week is really Recovering Sinners. Okay, who we are is really Romans 7, Recovering Sinners. This one right here is really God Sets Us Free as we are recovering sinners. So it's the God Sets Us Free part that we're really going to think about today, but also keep our, shoes on one, put our shoes on one shoe at a time, being we are still not nearly perfect yet, but we're headed in a direction. So we thank the Lord for His good work. Well, man and woman are about to get married before God. There's many friends there, and it's a time of worship, and the man goes first in making his promises. And he says words that you may have said or had said to you or, heard. He says, I take you to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish as long as we both shall live. And before she can say back those words, which she really wants to say, because of the magnitude of what he said, someone in the congregation, you know, at the wedding thinks this, oh, great, you know, now she can go out and live totally for herself. She could pursue friends and career 100%. She could hit the bar scene full tilt. And because this guy has just told her he's going to be with her no matter what, okay, and he's going to be faithful to her. And so that is her response. And if anybody would have that thought, we would say, God forbid that. Okay, God forbid that. Of course, the bride doesn't say that. She's so moved by what he shares that she shares back to him the same kind of love. And so one of the lessons of Romans 6 is that God's loyal love and faithfulness is not a reason for sin, not an excuse for our sin. In Romans chapter 6, the question is asked, should we keep on sinning so that grace may abound? Or God's forgiveness could even shine brighter, you know, the worse I am. Well, each of us know our sin problem is big enough to have Jesus go to the cross. We don't have to prove our depravity to God or to our own selves. And people often ask that question, though, when the gospel is presented, especially if it's presented over a series of, messages, or you share something with a friend, or maybe give a gospel tract. Often people will hear, oh, Jesus died for my sins. He rose from the dead to be Lord, and I'm going to, you know, if I believe him, then I'm going to go to heaven. Then you're saying I could just live in all the sin I want. Okay, well, here's the Lord's response to that question in different versions of the Bible. God forbid that would be a response. May it never be. Certainly not. And by no means. And in the Greek, that phrase is the strongest possible no that you could come up with in that language. So you have these different, you know, English fellows and committees trying to say, well, this is God saying, definitely not respond to the good news by saying, well, we'll just live like we want to live then. Well, we do have a new want to, but we don't sin. Paul dealt with the same problem in Romans chapter 3. He said, we're slanderously being reported as saying, let us do evil that good may result. And he says that when we think that way, it shows that any, you know, God would have a right to bring condemnation. We show our nature of not thanking God for His grace, not being changed by His grace, staying an enemy of God, loving sin more than we love God. Okay. And he reminds us in Titus, grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live godly lives. So it's really who Jesus is and the gift of God that's going to motivate us to the greatest obedience. And some old Bible teachers, Chuck Swindoll and other people, have said this, and I think there is a merit to it. They said, you should share who Christ is with such clarity and the gospel to such an extent that people may raise the question, oh, you're saying it's a free gift, right? Well, then what you're saying, where's obedience in it all? And then you could talk about the obedience of Christ. And you could talk about how you are gladly obeying God for what he did. And so the preaching of the gospel, ever since it was preached, always brings forth this human resistance. I think it's because we're awkward with grace. We're awkward with God's unconditional love and his faithfulness. And he could teach us, yes, it's true. Yes, it changes our lives. It delivers us and is keeping on delivering us from the power of sin. So an important impact of God's good news sets us free from the penalty of sin, and we are being set free from the power of sin. Okay, this is what the Lord says in the passage in all of Romans 6. Sin is not the king of our lives anymore. Christ is the king of our lives. So we have a new king and a new loyalty and allegiance with as much joy, you know, in our soul as the folks who sang here today. I remember a man walking away from the pain of a relationship. He saw that freedom was away from the poison of the thing he was in. And he thought of the song, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Okay, no turning back. And of course, he would stumble and fall, like you and I do. We're still recovering sinners. But his life would have a definite direction. In fact, he thought of the old time song. He said, walk like a man, fast as I can. Walk like a man from you. And the you was the old sin in his life. And not perfection, but a direction. Deciding to follow Jesus with his help. That's what the grace of God does. By God's grace, really in your soul, it's goodbye to the land of sin. Hello to the land of glad obedience. And it's a good land. It's not like a land of the chains that drag us down. It's a land where we have a new master. And his name is Wonderful. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. So, different things in the Bible show us this new life with Christ because of what he did for us. One is baptism. Paul mentions baptism in Romans 6 here. It's a good picture of our old sin nature not having ultimate power over us anymore. We have a new love. The Holy Spirit is given to us when we receive Christ. And just like Jesus died and rose from the dead, our old sin nature is counted as dead. And we have a new life with Christ. It's like going to your own funeral and resurrection early when you're baptized. Okay. And that baptism could be water baptism, which is important, or the receiving of God in your life where there's a union with Christ there also. But when you receive Christ and you have him as your new master, God's real children habitually obey God. Okay? God's real children habitually obey God. And why? Because we love him. His love has changed our lives. If you're not habitually obeying God, then there's no reason to think that you're a child of God. Okay? If you're not habitually obeying God, no reason to think you're a child of God. You could say, Lord, be my Savior. So I would want to follow you out of gladness and thankfulness. A 16-year-old boy was being yelled at by his friends. They said, hey, get your family's car. Let's go to Walmart and steal some stuff. Easy to do, big store, and you know they only have so many cameras and so forth. And the boy said, no, that's not for me. And they said, come on, you're a coward. Nope, not for me. Come on, oh, you're just afraid of what your dad will do to you. And he said, no. He said, I'm afraid of what my sin will do to my father. I'm afraid of what my sin will do to my father. That's the response of the Christian. Okay. We know the Lord loves us and we love him, and we want to have a new life. We don't want to go back to the old way, even though we trip and fall, and we are recovering sinners, not pure saints yet. I was thinking, even if we're filled with God's Spirit 10,000 times in our life, which would be great, there's still going to be a sin problem in between those times of really walking with the Lord. Okay, so even the most faithful Christian is in need daily, I think, of God's help and forgiveness. In fact, most of the stronger Christians realize this quite well. Oh, I need daily help in my recovering from my sin problem. But I know Jesus is very wonderful, and he could help me with that. And so, to be a servant of God, a slave of God, not a slave of sin. And it's just to keep a check on our soul. It's impossible to love God and love sin at the same time. It would be irrational. Even if we move away from God, we don't pray, we don't love our neighbor, and it starts to really tear our souls apart, because we know that's not me. I heard the part of the folks' song here. I'm not going back again, because it's not who I am that is going back to a lifestyle of serving self and sin. Sin and obedience are sworn enemies. That's our response to the cross. Sin and obedience, sworn enemies. And again, Psalm 97, let those who love the Lord hate evil. You start by hating evil, any evil in your own soul. Okay. After you say, I love Christ, but I hate any evil in my own soul. And then we see evil in the world, and we want to bring the gospel to that. Not just cuss out the world, The world's cussing out itself without us adding to the chorus. But to love the Lord and know sin is a dead-end street. That we belong to the power we choose. Whoever has our hearts, we will obey. If the Lord has our hearts, we'll obey him. If sin has our hearts, we'll obey self. To serve self and sin, it's a dead garbage life, and we all know what that feels like. But to serve God is freedom and glad obedience. Again, with the joy of the singers here, I think, expressed it well. I wanted to share with you some thoughts from some other preachers on the application of the passage. Dr. Tripp, Dr. Begg, and Dr. May, okay, in there. The Christ in us, as we receive him, we have a new life with Christ. We count ourselves dead to sin. Christ in us frees you to serve God in unconditional love. Pretty soon, it's like, I want to serve God regardless, because he's number one in my life. I think of families who, and hopefully on the positive end, think of a family that has a family business. They really go out of their way, and they go the extra mile to help and serve when it's time to serve. Why? Because it's just not, it's the boss getting on my back. But it's mom or dad. It's brother or sister. They need my help. I'm going to, go the extra mile for them. And that's how we feel about the Lord. He's our new leader, master, boss. And we're employed by God. We love to work for our loved ones. And so we love to work for God. Second good thing to know with our new life with Christ in you is taking you from the land of sin to the land of glad obedience. I mentioned that before. But we're recovering from the land of sin. It was rough. It was terrible. We're not used to being free. So occasionally we're going to think, oh, this is the way I live. God, he probably treats me like mom and dad treated me. Now, he treats you with even greater faithfulness and love and mercy than the key people in your life. taking you from the land of sin to the land of glad obedience. So knowing you're a recovering sinner, please be merciful to yourself, I would say, as a Christian. If you're merciful to yourself, you'll be merciful to others. If you're not merciful to yourself, you will be a pain in the butt to others. Very much. And pain in the neck. Excuse me. Got the little ones here today. Next one. Christ in you cannot be packaged or programmed. He's first in all things. No magic bullets in discipleship. Moment by moment, walk step by step, walk with God. And this is the best way to live, really. When you think of other relationships, you know, do you really want the closest people in your life just to say, well, oh, we went to Kennywood 1 year and we were so close, it was just a mountaintop experience, you know, and I hardly talk to the person now, and I don't even know what they're up to, but I live on the memories of it all. No, it's being with Jesus moment by moment, step by step. I mean, that's who he is. And so that's where we can walk with him. And then Christ in you frees you from self-will and conditional discipleship. The Lord's always first. No room for excuses when following Jesus, right? He made that clear. And there were some things that people said that, oh, I have this to do and I have that to do and there's a family this and this and that. Jesus said, no, you put your hand to the plow and don't look back. It's a reflection of a single-minded love that God could give us. And so it's a blessing. People appreciate single-focused love. Make sure it's toward the Lord. Self-will is not going to help you. Surrender will help you. Remember Dan Wolfe, he said, surrender, trust, and obey. That was his response to the Lord. And then another great one I believe here, Christ in you frees you from making idols of anything in creation. And there's wonderful things God has given us. The people in our lives, the work, you know, that we have to do, any forms of recreation or leisure, you know, you'd like to swim or jump in a boat or, you know, drive around in a car, bicycle, whatever. Don't make that thing like the point of your joy in your life. It's a gift from God. Be thankful. You put Christ first, those things fall in line very well. And if you put those things first, you know what? It's like throwing mud on those things. Because then you expect things out of the people or out of that blessing that they were never meant to be. God was the one to fill your soul with himself and to give you contentment. I heard thought of this, and I think it's very true. You think of it. When you know the goodness of new life with Christ, you would trade all the moments of disobedience in your life, which we know there would be a lot for you and I. We trade in all the moments of disobedience in our lives for one moment of gladly obeying God. And that moment could be today. You know, by the grace of God, to say, well, I'm a recovering sinner, but I'm still headed to the promised land by the grace of God. He has me in his hands. He won't let me go. And God's word says this. He helps us do the things that reflect his holiness and a new life with him. So we start today to live like we will in heaven. That's Christians do that. We begin to live here like we will in heaven. A lot of thanks to God. A lot of gladness about each other. A lot of service. Sin. Our response to any sin in heaven, which there won't be sin, would be like, oh man, just get me in the other direction, or bring Christ into this picture, please. That's our response. And so the Lord invites us, you know, be set free by him, knowing we're recovering, but we're still free, very free. And You're like the person at the wedding with Jesus every day. And the Lord says to us, hey, I just want to, you know, having to hold from this day forward, that's how I feel about you. And for better or worse, when you're at your worst and you're sick, you know, in your behavior, I'm going to be there for you. And we say back, you know, we say back, oh, Lord, to love you. Yeah, for better, for worse. That's how the Lord asks for our response. So be set free by God and learn the new life with Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. We can have a new life with you as Christians. You've taken us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of your beloved Son. And sometimes we feel still very intimidated or down about the sin of our own soul or the sin around us. And certainly it grieves you. But there's something about the freedom you give us that sets our feet still learning glad obedience. And we're always at our best when we're gladly obeying you. We're not saved by that obedience, but we're that obedience naturally flows from this salvation you give us. So be with us as your dear children. Just like the boy in the story, we don't want to do anything that hurt the heart of the Father. But we want to rejoice in him because you continue to do so much for us. From the cross all the way to the second coming, you're doing your great rescue mission, and we give you praise for that. Bless each one here in Jesus' name. Amen.